Thank you for coming. We're going to call our meeting to order. Robin, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to have to do that faster. I think it's dangerous for me to hold my stomach in that long. When I'm sideways on the camera.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
On all of us. Called our middle-aged.
Okay. Our first agenda item is to approve minutes for August 3rd, October 19th, and November 17th. Are there any corrections to those?
I have one if I can find it. Page 3 of 7 of November. It says Baldwin made the motion and Baldwin seconded it.
He may have.
Well, you do like to. That's yourself.
Oh, you seconded yourself?
That's supposed to be Taylor made the motion.
Which one's it on?
C.
Oh, wait a minute. What date?
That's, of all that reading, that's all I found.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You've been elevated to president.
What?
Yeah, you've been elevated to president.
Yeah, we have for a second.
Okay. Anything else?
Daniel, Jennifer has her hand up.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, first of all, sorry, board members, that I'm not able to join in person today. I'm not feeling very well, and I didn't think I would give you a holiday gift of illness. So I did send you all an email early this morning with some comments. I would suggest that the minutes from the October-November minutes be tabled for further revisions. There were some significant revisions in those items that I had suggested that I did not see incorporated in the drafts that were in the packet.
Yeah, I kind of agree, Jennifer. I read that. I read your email.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if anybody got it. I didn't get a response, so I was afraid that maybe it didn't go through.
So you do lots of things. You're recommending we table all the minutes?
No, the August minutes looked fine to me, other than there was a date typo at the end for the date of approval. But otherwise, the August minutes looked fine. It was the October and November minutes that it didn't look like the revisions were incorporated into.
Well, okay, I move that we approve the August 3rd minutes.
Second. Okay, just. So we're going to table October, November.
Right, you're going to ignore what I said about November.
Okay.
Okay, all in favor for approving August 3rd?
Aye. Aye.
Do I have a motion regarding the October 19th or November 17th?
We'll make a motion. We table minutes of those two meetings.
Yeah, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
What you doing? See, the next item is we wanted to announce that we're looking for applications for a chair for the club activities committee. You can get those applications in the management office and file them, and they'll be forwarded to the board.
Okay, before that, Daniel, we have treasurer's report for 6. I did not get a treasurer's report in my packet.
Well, I did the announcements on your president's report. Treasurer's report is next.
He's on 5A. Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh. You want to go 6?
Okay.
Rita, did you have we don't have a written report.
You don't?
No. Did you have a report?
Yeah. But I don't have it with me.
Excuse me, Daniel. Can I back up a moment, please? Yes. Is that club activities committee chair? Can you tell me? Someone asked me about actually starting another club. What is the process once we get applications for the chair?
We'll vote on
we'll
who
vote
the
on,
chair is, just
okay.
like we did for the other.
So we'll look at the applications and the board will vote. Okay, thank you.
I actually had two treasurer's reports. I had whatever months, October and November, because we just did November's. I'm sorry they didn't get out, and that's probably my fault.
Okay. I just thought it was missing from my.
No, it must not have gotten out. Yeah, I always send it the day after the meeting. And I'm going to have to figure out a better way to get it to Daniel so that he doesn't lose it or that I don't lose it. But I always do it the very next day.
Okay.
And I think what we're going to do is we're going to have the committee reports and the committee agendas go to Robin. She's going to help me with the webpage. So I'll do the board meetings and all of our approved documents and all that. But she'll do the agendas or any packets for the committees. So we'll send out an email to the committee chairs so they know to send that,
okay.
that stuff to Robin.
And I will say a couple of things that were on that report. I'm trying to track a disbursement. I mean, this is just, it's a customary regular disbursement from our operating account. It was the only disbursement made since Jerry left the first of August, no, the next month after Denver. I just got some new medication. I'm a little addled. At our audit finance meeting, Carrie does not remember making that transfer. It was probably made on her very first day. She wasn't feeling well. And so they think the temporary made it. And it was a substantial amount, $179,347.28 or so. I'm still looking to see where it went. I have to assume it went from our operating account to HGA's operating account. Terry hasn't gotten back to me. I've asked him to just make sure that's where it went. Let's see, what were the other things? Oh, there was a $42,000 deposit. Again, there hadn't been any transactions since Jerry left. There was a $42,000 deposit into our capital reserves. And I don't know what it was for. I have no idea what it was for, what it was. So I'm trying to track those down. I think it's just a complication of change. Other than that, we're spending a lot of money. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how much.
So you want to get me a copy of the reports and I'll put them on the webpage.
Yes, I will.
I might add that we have received October 31st profits and loss, and Carrie has told us that we will receive the November when it's complete budget and finance, and I'll make sure you guys get a copy.
And they do have the vendor invoices ready for me to look at from November, so I'd like to do it tomorrow. Do you want to be there to look at it, or are you just going to?
Oh, I'll be driving to Albuquerque.
Then you can't be there. Okay.
My glasses aren't that good.
If anyone wants to be here while I go through those invoices, I don't mind. I just look at them, try to get an idea of where our money goes. And if there's something I don't recognize, I ask.
Do you need some company?
He likes company.
Okay, what time?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'll let you know when I come
that's
over.
That's helpful.
I know. I know. I'll let you know when I come over.
Okay, Robin, you want to do the restaurant report?
Yes, thank you. The report, whoops, this is not on, sorry. The report is in your packet. I just want to give some highlights. The Renew the Rendezvous project is moving forward very nicely. We have chef applications coming in, working on a new menu, and their server has been hired. And Battleborn has been here to oversee the scheduling of the removal and installation of equipment, professional cleaning, layout, and placement of new equipment. So it's going very well. And when the restaurant is closed is when all of these events will be taking place, December 24th through January 1st. And we hope to be up and running for the new year. We're also looking at some other things, a new POS system, which is a point of sale system, and a coffee machine to make special coffees. So we're looking forward to those changes. As far as the, this is phase one of the renewal. Things are going well, and we're not anticipating anything more than what we have presented for 2024. We do have our marketing plan in place. Everyone's a winner. Scratch-offs will be sent to the residents so they can enjoy our restaurant and be a winner. You're going to win something. Not a maybe a whole dinner, but maybe your beverages or buy one, get one free. But you have to find out by coming to the restaurant and having your server scratch off the ticket. We're advertising in Heather and Jan once a month now. There's an ad in for January 1. And we will continue to advertise the new menu, dinner specials, special events on Polera and HGMD website. Don't forget to go to the new website. Our review of financials, there are some things that didn't make sense to us, so we're going to be working on that to see what that is. But we are encouraged by what we saw. And that's it. And if anyone has any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
The equipment has been purchased in...
Yes, the equipment has been purchased. It's in the warehouse waiting for it to be delivered.
Okay.
And it will be free shipping. So that's what's really exciting. We're doing very well with the finances on our project.
And we found out that we don't have to have a second floor drain. We don't have to tear up the floor.
I'm not sure about that one, Craig. We still need to talk with Josh because we have a new combi oven going in and the water has to go somewhere.
Well,
so let's... Please contact me afterwards so we can clarify that because our project manager says we need to have that. So so that's in progress.
That's tearing up the floor in the kitchen.
Well, we have to put another drain in the floor because the water from the combi oven has to go somewhere. And it will flood if we don't put a second drain in. That's my understanding right now. But I want to also say that is part of the, remember when we approved the installation of the equipment? That is part of the installation of the equipment to do that work.
So that was in the, okay.
That was in the original contract, yes. Rita, any other questions?
Rita asked a question.
Oh, sorry, Rita, go ahead.
No, it's not about that. I need to add something to my report.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. The restaurant committee is meeting a week from today in this room at 3:00. We are excited and moving forward, and we have a great team. Thank you, team.
Go ahead, Rita.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say was I got the certificate. What's it called? It has to do with the mill levy. You have to send it to the county to certify it, and it didn't make sense to me. It still doesn't, in that apparently there's some money I don't know about at the Zion Bank. We apparently do not have to collect the entire amount of the bonds because there's some money sitting there that they use part of each month or each year.
But you're working with Bill Archimola on that. And...
Well, I'm trying to find out how much money there is there because I don't have any statement from Zion Bank showing anything other than $119 after all the payments were made 1st of December.
And you think there's more than that?
Well,
Bill does.
Bill does. What it is I've got the assessed value. I know that we get about $30,000, or maybe a little bit more than that, from personal property tax and interest. The tax, the mill levy they used, brings in $100,000 less than we need to pay the bonds and interest. The explanation I got from Bill was that they used $60,000 of the excess cash at Zion. And I don't know anything about that excess cash.
I'll give you the number of the guy I talked to there, so you can get it straight now.
Thank you.
Okay. Boris, want to do the RV lot committee report? Or we got your written report if you want to add anything to yours.
Since I submitted the report, which was mostly about our meeting with the parking manager for the city of Aurora, nothing was decided. We didn't make any motions. It was just a report on what was discussed. Since then, I have received a resignation letter from Patty Lang-Lewis. I won't read her entire letter, but she stated, I have genuinely appreciated the opportunity to serve and am impressed with the extent of the issues the committee must deal with. I'm grateful for the experiences and insights I've had during my time with the committee and regret that I have been unable to contribute as I originally planned. I have learned a great deal and have immense respect for the commitment and hard work put forth by the committee. I wish you the very best in all future endeavors. So I would obviously, you know, I have to accept her. I have to accept the resignation. But I already think I have a replacement, and I'll verify that probably in another week or so. I spoke to David Maris just prior to this meeting about the security camera. He stated that he thinks John Howell and his crew are installing it today. David, you have anything to add to that?
Nope.
You'll have to unmute yourself.
Where else?
Sorry, about that. No, not really anything much to add, only that we put it up there and we tested it out. It's working, and it's working as designed, but the coverage that we're going to have from that camera is going to be very limited. That's the only thing to keep in mind. When we had the camera up there before, it was pointed directly at the gate when the gate was unsecured, and it worked very well for that. Having it pointed at the gate now really makes no sense to me, you know, in the overall scheme of things. We already know who's coming in and out of the gate. That's not the weak point of the RV lot. If they're going to be coming in, that's not the way they're going to be coming in. Not our biggest concern. Our biggest concern is the perimeter. And as you know, Forrest, I spoke to you about maybe an alternative to that, or in addition to that camera, there's another way we could go about that. And we can talk about that offline if you'd like, sir.
Yes, thank you. And we're always open to alternatives. And we experimented earlier with inexpensive cameras, and that I liked your suggestion, and we'll look into that. Thanks so much.
Roger that, sir. Yep.
That's all I have. Questions?
Is it against the law to electrify a fence?
Well, I don't think it's against the law, but it might carry some additional liabilities that we might not want to have.
When we get the new fence installed,
it'll take care of that. It'll take care of that.
Hopefully that takes care of the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless they bring a blowtorch with them. That should keep them out. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Boris. Okay. Where is this? I received an email that John Howell and Rick is going to come. They're not going to be available, so we'll just postpone this discussion of the fuel filter.
Okay, so we're not doing anything with the capital expenditure?
No, they're not here to discuss it. I got an email about quarter after 11 that they weren't available.
Do I have a different agenda?
No, they were just going to present this. No, we didn't have it as an item on there.
Okay, so we're still going to go with the insurance premium.
Yes, so okay. our first motion, and at our last meeting, Jennifer said this really wasn't required that we vote on this because it was included in our beginning of the year resolution, but an issue came up as to what the cost was of the rider and if it was included to lower the hail and wind deductible. And Rita looked into that, and it's included in the proposal we have. And so now we know that the total amount of the premium is what we discussed at the last meeting, $56,288. So I did prepare a motion just because we had discussed it before. So I move that the Heather Gardens Metropolitan District Board of Directors approve the payment of its insurance premium through the Colorado Special District's property and liability pool.
Second.
Thank you, Craig. And I already explained what the rationale was.
I do want to add that we, for $35, we have volunteer accident coverage too. I think that's important. That's come up as a question so many times, not to use volunteers, but we have coverage. And it's cheap.
Yeah.
All right.
That's in the amount of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to break that out then.
Oh no. No, I just wanted you to be aware that for $35 volunteers are covered, and we're always having objection to using volunteers because of the liability, but it's $35 to cover it.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Any questions by the board?
Nope.
Any questions from the public? Let me see.
Nope.
Okay, we'll vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion has a majority and passes.
Before we get to the next motion, what's happening with the auditorium floor? I thought it was going to be done on the 18th of December.
Speak into the microphone.
Okay. I'm wondering what's happening with the auditorium floor. I thought it was going to be done around the 18th of this month.
No, we're looking into it. It turned out there was no contract. There was only one proposal. Craig's looked into that. I think he's getting another proposal. Is that correct?
No. I wasn't told to do it until it was too late.
I thought you talked to somebody else.
No. I asked your permission, and you were a little late.
Yeah. There was a member of a Frolics committee that said they have somebody they wanted to talk to.
Okay. The bid that we got was dated November of 22. And my suggestion was that we contact that party to make sure that that bid is still good, which is about $3,000 less than what
Frolics
and I had another guy here, another company here.
Okay.
But I think the company that's normally done it through the years is Denver Dustless. And
there was a proposal from them that wasn't accepted. We never did a contract. It never came through the board. So
it took digging to even find the proposal. I don't know where you finally found it.
I got a copy.
Holly finally found it and sent it to us, but there was no contract done. So it was just a proposal that was received. And informally, I guess they talked about dates, but it didn't go through the process properly. So we're going to have to back up and get the bids and do that work.
I assume we're going to try and get it done when there are no classes scheduled?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So our next motion is to adopt an election PM. I've got a notebook, 2 inches thick over things we need to put in place before the next election. But I wanted to cover this part because we had issues during our election with signs being removed and thrown away, that sort of thing. So, I'll do the motion first, and then we'll have discussion. Jennifer's got some comments about it. So I move that the Heather Gardens Metropolitan District Board of Directors approve election PM1, establishing rules for electioneering. Do I have a second?
Second. Second by Rita.
This is the first in a series of proposed PMs to establish specific procedures surrounding elections for HGMD. Elections and electioneering are essential to the representative governance of the district, and therefore establishing rules and procedures that apply equally to all members of the district as the highest priority. Jennifer, do you want to comment? I know you wanted an addition of the prohibition within 100 feet on the day of election.
Yeah, I did send you all an email earlier this morning with my comments on this as well, so I won't belabor those points, but just touch them at high level. I did think that the distance and electioneering, the distance requirements and the electioneering definition should be revised to be more consistent with what's already provided for in the Constitution and state statute. And then I just have some First Amendment concerns with some of the prohibitions that are covered in this. So my recommendation would be not to accept this or approve this today and to take it back for some additional editing. But those are my thoughts to the board.
Well, we were actually not trying to prohibit conduct. We're trying to allow conduct because during our election, we kept being told what we could not do. And there is some conduct that we do need to prohibit as far as the clubhouse is concerned. We wanted to allow the electioneering in a public area and one that was reasonable for people to have access. For instance, we are allowing a flyer to be placed on the bulletins that where notices are provided. That's allowing that to happen. Our flyers were removed every time we put one up on the notice bulletin board. So we're allowing campaign signs that are the size of the yard signs to be placed on the district property within 45 days of any district election, which matches the statute. That our yard signs were removed and thrown away. That were like $200, please. Removed and thrown away. And when we asked for them so that we could put them back up, maintenance said they forgot where they put them. So we don't want this kind of issue. We want to allow those things that are allowed by statute, and that's why we're specifically stating them so that there's no disagreement about what the rules are. But we can't have, though, people should not be allowed to go into meetings, even though they're public meetings, you should not be allowed to go into a meeting for purposes other than that meeting and try to distribute material there. And that's why we're saying distribute it in front of the courthouse or the clubhouse, but not inside of a meeting that's for another purpose.
I have a question, Jennifer, that you said that the statute says 100 feet as opposed to the 20 feet.
100 feet, but it's on the day of the election.
On the day of election.
While voting is occurring.
Okay, so this 20 feet isn't contrary.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jenny.
I'm sorry, it's only contrary on the day of the election as per the 100 feet portion. And Daniel, to your point, I fully understand what the goal here is. Having spent quite a bit of time working on First Amendment sign type issues, the irony is that once you start talking about the content of the sign, the scrutiny that's applied by the court becomes a lot higher. And so those are really my concerns. It's not the goal that the board is trying to get to that I'm as concerned about. It's the fact that how we're going about it. Once you look at the content of a sign, it's no longer a content neutral regulation of a sign. And that implicates the First Amendment body of case law, which would then heighten the scrutiny on the regulation. And so that's why it's problematic. And it's a bit counterintuitive, I understand. But like I said, it's been a couple of years since I've had to work on a sign code, but I know that body of case law pretty well. And so that's why I have these concerns.
But when the statute itself is talking about campaign signs within 45 days of an election, how do we not address the content that we're talking about campaign signs?
Well, if it's already covered in state statute, I would argue that there's not a need for a duplicative district requirement.
On advice of our counsel, I'm going to move that we table this until further Jennifer can give us more advice.
Yeah, I read Jennifer's email this morning, and I will second that, Eloise.
Comments from the directors?
No comments. Motion to table.
Oh, there's no motion was to table. Gotcha.
Yep.
Until Jennifer can give further.
Okay, we'll vote on the motion to table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
How'd you vote, Rita? And Harry?
Aye. What's the vote?
I voted no. If you wanted to ask.
And I voted no. The motion has a majority and it passes.
Just so I'm clear for follow-up, does the board want me to take the time to rework these and or provide alternate suggestions that I think might get you to some of the same places, or is this something that the board is going to study and bring back to me for further review?
President?
I'm looking at the two of you, because what that means is when we do something and bring it back, that means I'm doing it. So
yeah.
I see Jennifer do it. So we're sure.
Okay. No more arguing about attorney's fees then.
Statute.
Yeah.
Statute should cover what we're trying to do.
The statute covered it before.
Daniel, I'm saying this out loud, okay?
I agree.
Statute should cover it. We shouldn't even have to have this.
Agreed.
Okay, that's all I want to say.
But nope. Management and residents don't know where to go to find that statute. And what they look to is they look to our rules. And so we have a lot of things that are covered by law that we also put in the rules so people know what to look at and say, what am I allowed to do? And they can point to something.
And my comment is the statute, I'm sorry, I'm not a lawyer. I do not read legalese. And location where this stuff can happen needs to be specific to Heather Gardens and our properties. So I think we need to go beyond the statute and put it in FPM. That's why I voted no.
Okay. So that's
Daniel, okay. I'm sorry, yes. You have Linda Howman had her hand up.
Go ahead, Linda.
Unmute.
I had one question in wording because I'm ignorant. A presumption shall be created. That, whatever a presumption is, might need to be defined if you go forward with this PM. It's in section 3. If an allegation appears to be sufficient to be a violation of this rule, a presumption will be created. I have no idea what that means. And I'm pretty sure most of us lay folks won't know what that means.
A presumption that we're going to assume that it's true and then it's your obligation to come back and say that it's not.
So that might need to be a little clearer language.
Okay.
Please and thank you.
Okay, that's stable. And Jennifer's going to look into, I'll send you what I've got, Jennifer, and you can add to it then. Okay. And our last motion for the
it's the one updating the key bank accounts.
Right. And that's all it says, but I'm looking for the actual motion itself. Here it is. Okay. I move that the Heather Gardens Metropolitan District Board of Directors approve the updating of signers on the key bank accounts. Past directors and officers of the district remain on the bank accounts. These names need to be removed, and the district treasurer and president need to be added. Is that a second?
Second.
Any discussion by the board? Any discussion by the public? Rita, I went too fast for Rita. Go ahead, Rita.
Yeah. Daniel and I both know that changing the signers isn't going to change anything because we don't ever sign anything.
No, that's not true. It's also who authorizes the transfers. It's just not thinking of a chat.
I agree.
Well, I think it needs to be, but I think that we also should have in there that we determine who is authorized to make transfers.
Yeah, that seems to be a glitch in this thing.
The district has never
authorized anything like this, and it should have been done.
I think we need to make it clear that what happens is that the funds that are in HGMD accounts are transferred from HGMD accounts into HGA accounts without us ever knowing what the transfer is for or being documented as to the amount, like this $179,000.
Yeah, well, and we were told that Holly made Carrie eligible to transfer.
Well, that part
without our knowledge.
Yeah, that part doesn't even matter. I mean, we have people on there that are so old, I don't even recognize their
names.
Well,
yeah, I can tell you when it happened. I've been here January of 17 is when Twyla and Larry resigned.
Well, nobody has been added to the account since that time.
No.
Locally. I don't know what goes on.
Okay.
Nation.
Martha, yeah.
My question is, you asked for public comment after the updating the bank account signatures, but you didn't ask for public comment about the electioneering.
Because it was tabled.
So you don't allow comment on it?
No.
It's tabled, it just stops.
There's no comment after a table.
They stopped me.
Robert's Rules of Order.
They stopped me, Martha.
Yeah. Stopped them.
So then it would be appropriate at the next meeting when you discuss it
here. Yeah.
We have it.
Okay, on this issue, are there any comments by the public? Okay, we're ready to vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion has a majority and passes. Do you have any public comment on non-agenda items? Now's the time.
I guess I wanted to comment on.
You have to come up, please.
You have to come and use the microphone, please. And your name and building again, please.
Okay.
Estelle Mattis, and I'm in building 216. And I'm not sure if this is an appropriate time to bring it up or not, since you said that the issue on electioneering has been tabled. But I wanted to make a few comments and concerns that I had about that.
Okay.
First of all, I wanted to say good afternoon to everybody. Okay. And then I wanted to speak with concern about the issue of transparency, about fairness, and about balance that will directly affect the lives of all of us who live in Heather Gardens. The purpose of the memorandum is to define a consistent, fair, and equal procedure for all electioneering on Heather Gardens Metropolitan District properties. You suggest this memorandum will ensure the information it gets to the public is informative and balanced. So I'm looking at section one, that's just defining where electioneering can take place. But section 3 was more concerning to me. It says that written material or verbal statements must not contain inflammatory information or false statements. And in my mind, what I was wondering was, who's determining if this is inflammatory? Who's determining whether these are false or true statements? You state, if a violation of this rule is alleged, such allegations must be made in writing to the HGMD board. Then you, the majority of the HGMD board, will make a decision whether the statement shall be allowed or prohibited, whether it shall be considered true or false. And I don't understand how this is balanced. I see this determined entirely by the opinion of the majority of HGMD, and not necessarily by, I guess what I want to say is, I feel that alleged violations in engineering communications should be determined by a neutral body. So I'm suggesting maybe when this is not tabled, when it comes back to the table, that perhaps a neutral body could be proposed that would be giving an opinion on whether something's true or false, whether it's acceptable, not acceptable, whether it's inflammatory or not. I think through the actions and the memorandum you have written, if things are not given over to a neutral body, then it's going to be impossible for Heather Gardens community to trust your commitment to fair elections and to fair representation on your board. So those are the concerns that I have. I think it needs to be a neutral group that determines whether something is false or true.
I'm hoping Jennifer will rework this when she submits it. That's why I suggested our legal counsel review it and reword it.
Okay, that would be good. And if something like a neutral body can be adopted at that time, that'll be great.
Tell us, Jennifer.
I think that will be a wonderful solution.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you
for your comments.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments, Martha?
I'm Martha Carnap, Building 214. I also want to comment about Section 3 of the, what do you call it, the end of this table. I consider it a clear violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution that you're restricting what people can say verbally or in writing. You can't use profanity. That's not illegal in any context that I know of. They cannot use inflammatory language. I don't know of any elections that don't contain inflammatory language. People are entitled to their opinions. This is a restriction on freedom of speech. I would disagree with Estelle in having a neutral body. We shouldn't have anybody reporting in writing what they heard somebody else say to you or the board. That's like the shades of Nazi Germany. The Nazis had spouses reporting on each other, or neighbors reporting on each other, or children reporting on their parents. That's not freedom of speech. If you have to be careful what you say, because somebody's going to report it to a board.
Oh, really? And you didn't know about that, Martha.
Daniel, let's have her finish, then we'll comment. And you still have 3.30 minutes.
I would advise the board that we do not have to comment on non-agenda items.
Okay. I object to anything that requires an evaluation standard for what people say, and I reject the idea that there's a board or any given authority that evaluates what somebody says. I consider that a clear violation of the First Amendment.
Thank you, Martha. Any other comments from the public? Okay.
We're moving into executive session. We're pursuant to sections 2406, 402, 4B and 24.6.4.2.4E for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions and or determining positions relative to matters that may be subject to negotiations, development strategy for negotiations, and instructing negotiators regarding the management agreement. Is that a second?
Second. Danielle, are we going to bring this up in public or after executive session? Or what are we
doing? Executive session.
After executive session? Then I would suggest people stick around. Comments under your breath can be heard, Daniel.
Good. All in favor to go in executive session?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, we're in executive session.
All right, we're just letting folks back into the room. I think Rita may have stepped out to use the restroom, if I heard correctly. So just give us a second here.
Yes.
Although I guess in Rita's absence, I could take a motion to exit the executive session and reconvene the public meeting.
I'll make the motion. We move out of executive session.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. Thank you. We're back in public session. We will wait for Rita to come back.
Well, that was split too. It's not going to be much good. I think mine might be split too. I suppose we better turn this back on. Unless there's not very many people.
Do we have to take public comments or discussion? Probably. Do the same process?
Probably for voting.
Discussion around the table. And then public comment.
Okay.
But we don't
we'll follow the same process.
Yeah.
We don't public have to comment can be said and we don't have to respond.
Yeah, let's not get into that verbal battle.
They can come back in now.
Yep.
Yes. I mean, the board, as I've counseled in the past, you receive public comment. It's not a public dialogue. So members of the public may want to make comments and they're so entitled. The board has been taking public comment on items. So.
And our emails are available if anyone wants to shoot us a question.
All right, I see Rita's back. I assume that folks have rejoined from the hall that were there physically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
All right, I'll stop talking now and let Daniel reconvene the meeting.
All the people back in the hall. Not all of them.
Okay, so we're reconvening our meeting.
Daniel, use your microphone on. I'm sorry.
No, it is not. You want it on?
He keeps turning off the master switch there. Okay.
I was in court one time when the judge took his hearing aids out, put it on the bench. So.
Was that a signal?
I'm turning off my microphone. It's not on. I'll just yell loud. So we reconvened our meeting. Robin has a motion.
Okay. I move to direct Peter Forbes, legal counsel. I move to direct Peter Forbes, legal counsel for HGMD, to file a complaint seeking relief based upon the Heather Gardens Association's breach of the management agreement.
Second.
Second by
Craig.
Craig.
Any discussion by the board?
I think we should say this. This complaint does not mean that we cannot get together in the 60 days that the complaint is being authorized. There is always time to talk.
Any comment by the public? Okay, we'll put it to a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And I would like the record to show that I opposed.
It'll be in the minutes and it's in my notes too, Eloise.
Sometimes it just says motion passed without who voted for and against.
No. In the minutes, no. It's included what the vote is. Yes.
All of our motions have the votes.
Because I know I opposed something and it said it right in the minutes.
I read it today where there were a couple of that didn't.
Okay, the motion has a majority and passes.
Move for adjournment?
Yeah.
I will.
Well, are there any comments from the audience?
We already did that.
You already did it.
Oh, we don't have to move.
They said no.
So Craig's moving to adjourn. Second?
Second.
Happy, happy holidays.
All yes, favor? Buddy.
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
See y'all
happy
next
holidays,
year.
Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you.
All right. Happy holidays, everybody.